In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, blessed feast. Today we celebrate the feast of Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, otherwise known as Palm Sunday. And it follows along from what happened yesterday, the divine liturgy that we celebrated yesterday for the raising of Lazarus. For part of the reason that there are so many people who are following Christ at this point in time was because that he raised Lazarus from the dead. It actually points out in the gospel reading today that many people came because they had heard about this, and that this also, as I mentioned yesterday in the homily, that this affected the rulers of the synagogue, the various religious rulers of the day who were jealous of the crowd of the following that Jesus started to have and wanted to put not only him, but also Lazarus to death, seeing as how Lazarus was a witness to the power, the authority of Christ. And so after Lazarus rose from the dead, when they were at Bethany, Christ was at their house, at Mary and Martha's house, and they made a supper. And Martha served, and Mary took costly ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, this is a foretelling. This points us to Christ's death, because that is what happens when someone dies, is they're anointed with oil. Mary is accounted among the myrrh bearers, and she actually anointed him with myrrh before the time that he would have been anointed at his death. So this is pointing to that in the same way that so many of the different things have pointed to his death and his resurrection. And then after that, first of all, Judas complained and said that that money could have been taken and the ointment could have been sold for money and the money could have been given to the poor. And he said to Judas, he said, let her alone, leave her alone. In other words, stop giving her a hard time about this. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with me. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Once again, pointing to his death and his coming separation from them. So then they went on up into Jerusalem, and Jesus came riding on a donkey, and that was to fulfill the Old Testament scriptures that talk about the king returning to Jerusalem on a donkey. And the people and the children specifically took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And Hosanna means, O Lord, save us. And so he entered Jerusalem in this joyous way. But it's kind of like those books or those movies where there's something going on that's all joyous, and yet not everybody who's there knows what's going to happen. Not everybody knows the tragedy that's going to happen within that week of Christ being crucified. It's like watching the movie Titanic, where we know what's going to happen at the end of the movie. And that's how it was for most of the people who were there. They were seeing Christ come into Jerusalem, and many of them supposed that he was the king of Israel that would overthrow the Romans who had been lording their authority over them, and that Israel would become its own state again, its own government again. But Christ knew, obviously, that that's not what he was going to do, and the disciples knew that that's not what he was going to do either. As I said yesterday, as I commented on the scriptures from the raising of Lazarus, when Jesus said, let us go to Lazarus after he had died, St. Thomas responded that they shouldn't go back to Judea, that they were just trying to stone Christ right before then, and that's why they left Judea, and now they're going to return. And Christ basically said, no, we're going to go. And when that happened, Thomas said, let us go with him to die with him. So they knew that Christ was going to Jerusalem to die. Christ had been clear. He'd been very clear about this. At one point in time, he said, know that the Son of Man is going to go up to Jerusalem and to be delivered into the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers and be tortured and be put to death. There's a steady drumbeat throughout the Gospels of Christ saying, I'm going to Jerusalem to die, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And so while there was all of this celebration, there was also this in the background, the fact that Christ was going to the place where he would be put to death. And so you have this mix of this joy, this joyful entry, and the people praising God and recognizing who Christ is as the Messiah, and yet this coming sorrow of the crucifixion. And so this is kind of what we experience this coming week in Lent, is we have this joyful sorrow that we experience, where we are joyful because we know of what happens on the other side of the death of Christ. We know of the resurrection, and we have a sorrow, and not just a sorrow for his death, but also a sorrow for our own sins. In the epistle today, in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, he says, "Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance." In other words, let them know how you are long-suffering, how you persist. St. John Chrysostom, in talking about this, talks about that St. Paul is saying this, but also that Christ said, "Blessed are they that mourn, and woe unto them that laugh," in Matthew and in Luke. And he asks how Paul can say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and also with having Christ had said, "Woe to them that laugh." And what St. John points out is that the laughter that they're talking about is not the same rejoicing that St. Paul is telling us to do here. The laughter that he's talking about is based on worldly things, on worldly happiness, not on that peace that passes all understanding that St. Paul refers to a little later. And that we can both mourn for our sins and rejoice about the God who forgives us our sins, about the God who has trampled down death by death. So when St. Paul says, "Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand." It is that line is why we rejoice. We rejoice because the Lord is at hand. And then he goes on to say, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so he's telling us not to worry. In these times, in these unsure financial times, in these times when there are questions about our health and the health of our neighbors and our friends, in this time when so many of us are stuck at home, wondering if we'll have a job when this is all over, or having already lost a job, when there are those who are sick and have to be alone in the hospitals as they suffer because their friends and family can't come to visit them for the chance that they might get the coronavirus, for those elderly people who are sitting basically locked in their rooms in nursing care facilities, for the people who are out there risking themselves getting sick on the front lines, for the doctors and the nurses and the paramedics and firefighters and police officers and the military who's come in to help, for those who do things that we now realize are necessary, such as the people who sell food and the trash collectors. There's so many different things that we didn't think about as being necessary, but now that we realize that they truly are. For all of those people, there's much to have anxiety about. For all of us, there's much to have anxiety about. But that's not what St. Paul is telling us here. He's saying, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. St. John Chrysostom, talking about this, mentions that no matter what your state is right now, that the Lord is at hand, and that there will come a time when it doesn't matter, when the rich will have nothing and the poor will no longer want, that the sick will be healthy, and the healthy will not rely on their health that God has given them. It will not matter to them. And that's what this means when he is telling us to rejoice and to give thanks for everything, knowing that God will get us through this one way or another. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, is that which keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, as we keep focused on him and on the true destroyer of death, the one that truly unites us to life, the one that gives us hope. Then we can rejoice. We can truly rejoice. And then he also helps by saying this. He says, finally, brethren, St. Paul says this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, he's saying, don't focus on all the negative things that are going on right now. Don't focus on the pain and suffering that you may be feeling, or the anxiety that you may have, that he has told us earlier not to have anything about. But focus on the Lord. Focus on the ways in which he has blessed us. Focus on the fact that had this happened 100 years ago or 200 years ago, we wouldn't have had the ways to stay in touch with one another that we currently have. Focus on the fact that this happened during Lent, at a time when we were already supposed to be quieting ourselves and turning ourselves to God and focusing on him and trying to shut out those other distractions in our life. And that, as I've said before, I believe that it's providential that this happened during Lent, that this happened at a time where we were already thinking about those things, and at a time when we're supposed to take up our cross and follow him, all of a sudden it became just a little bit easier to do so. But also know that the disease, the fallenness of this world, that which we are suffering right now, will pass away. In the same way that although Christ was going to his death and the disciples knew that they were going with him, they thought to die, they still rejoiced. They rejoiced at the king coming back into Jerusalem. For Christ knew, even if the disciples did not at that point in time, that it is by that death that he will destroy the power of sin and death and disease and poverty, and all of those things that are part of fallen nature will be washed away by the resurrection. And thus, we can put our trust in him. We can ask him to save us. We can say, as they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. To his glory, that of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.